Welcome to this segment of A Day at DPL, a thought leadership series that is part of the Advisor Revelations podcast. You will hear from DPL's founder and CEO, David Lau, and a special guest where they will discuss educational topics around industry trends and best practices, providing advisors insights to grow your business and better serve clients.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to DPL's Advisor Revelations podcast. I'm fortunate to be joined today by Matt Reagan, the president and CEO of WealthCare. WealthCare is an $8 billion combo RIA and wealth tech platform. And Matt's going to tell us a lot more about WealthCare. And he's sitting here this morning after the Super Bowl, a pretty happy guy, as Matt is based in Philadelphia and is on the right side of the Super Bowl this morning. So Matt's been a great industry vet, been involved in a lot of interesting financial services projects and companies. And with that, I'll let Matt say hello and give a little background on WealthCare. How are you doing today, Matt?
Good, David. It's great to be here. Great to be with you and appreciate the partnership that we've had over the years. Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to share a little bit about WealthCare. It's an interesting company and I'm fortunate to be able to be involved with it. Started out way before I got involved here back in 99, actually as the industry's first financial planning software company that used Monte Carlo goals-based planning. The founder, a guy named Dave Loper, kind of invented the idea of goals-based financial planning, bottom-up, Monte Carlo-based. And he built a piece of software that remains today. We maintain the software and we call it GDX 360 for the goals-driven experience. But it's been, you know, it was adopted over the years throughout the industry. Wells Fargo uses it and calls it Envision. And many advisors know it as Financeware. So this is a battle-tested planning software that's been around for a long, long time. But they also built a straight-ahead RIA around that planning software that he called WealthCare. And obviously, the advisors used the planning software and used his investment solution, which was completely integrated. And he built up a very nice business, which he sold in 2014 to a private equity firm here in the Philadelphia area called New Spring Holdings. And we've really had a couple of pivots along the way, which is interesting. So we are an SEC registered RIA and we adhere to the fiduciary duty and the fee-only approach as a firm, but we have really changed our stripes. And today we exist more as a platform that supports independent advisors. So we provide advisors who are transitioning either from a captive channel or embracing independence. We provide them not only that technology that I talked to, but our investment solution, as well as all the human capital to handle the middle and back office tasks that they need to grow their practices.
That puts you like kind of squarely in a number of industry trends, right?
Yeah.
Which is important. One, you know, supporting the independence, you know, and supporting breakaways and people going independent, operating their own RIA, obviously a very big trend. And then the other, I mean, we almost take it for granted talking about, but planning and doing it from a planning perspective. That's, to me, I've been in the RIA industry about 20 years now. That's still a relatively new thing because RIAs grew up as investment managers. Financial advisors really did grow up as investment salesmen and then managers. And now like planning is what I think clients really want. The financial investments kind of come along with that, but you know, clients really want to see a plan.
Yeah. I think we heard at the Orion conference last week that the I in RIA is getting smaller and smaller, right? And the focus on planning is that's a legacy of Dave Loper and WealthCare. That's really where we came from. We tend to find advisors that are planning focused first. We have an investment team, so we provide an investment solution to the advisors. So we're TAMP-like in that regard. But really, the story that we tell is, as an independent financial advisor, you probably shouldn't be spending a ton of time picking stocks or picking mutual funds or, God forbid, doing compliance or trading or operations. Your time is best spent helping your clients either with plans or with their life goals, and that's really the value that you provide.
Yeah, 100%. And it's funny how many advisors really do want to be into the nuts and bolts of picking investments and things like that. There's still a big investment DNA in lots of advisors. And we run into that just with a product offering, right? Obviously, we do commission-free annuities. And the notion of an investment person thinking about an annuity, you know, they can throw their hands up sometimes, but
yeah,
fits really well in a plan. It's a great income solution. And the great thing to me about planning is it's really taking a client through retirement, where a lot of the investment approaches is just like, hey, we're going to accumulate a lot of money for you and then we'll draw it down. Right. And it doesn't feel like much of a plan.
Yeah. It's interesting. When I talk to advisors about this whole idea of getting them out of the investment business, I say, Jack Bogle's got $8 trillion that says that you don't know what you're doing. So you might as well, you know, ride the wave. And that's a little bit cynical. But I think to your point, one of the things in the industry that people have been talking about is there's going to be fee compression. You can't charge 100 basis points. You can't keep going doing what you're doing. And the reality is there hasn't been a lot of pressure on fees. What's changed is that the advisors have to do a lot more.
Yeah.
Right. So now they're doing things like, how do I guarantee income in retirement? How do I advance tax planning? And who's going to do my tax prep? Now, these are things that everybody's working harder.
Yes.
But they're still making the 1%, which is great. And I think there's an argument that says it's probably worth more than 1%. But really, I haven't seen the compression of the fees at the advisor side yet.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think the data supports that too, right? The fees haven't been compressed, but the services have been expanded. So if the services are, you know, what's being required of you as an advisor is more, you've got to figure out ways of being more efficient, you know, whether it's through software, through outsourcing, whatever it might be, but doing the things you were talking about, like compliance, back office work, that can't be part of your equation if you need to be providing more value to your clients in order to retain your fees.
I would take it right to our relationship, because we know that there's only so much that WealthCare can provide these advisors, and they need so much more. Just to use the tax planning as I don't have a bunch of advanced tax planners sitting around that they can help these advisors with massive cases for large clients that have huge implications, but I can find partners that we can provide these advisors, and DPL falls squarely in that category. The fact that you guys have pioneered fee-friendly annuities for fee-only advisors gives us a whole world that we didn't have accessible to us. Guaranteed income in retirement through the use of annuities. You know, that's something that we know we can't provide it. So we find great partners like you to help us augment our services.
Yeah. And it's been a great mutual relationship. And let's talk about some of the advisor types who use WealthCare, because in my lifetime or experience in the RIA market, boy, it's changed. Years ago, if you thought you were going to go independent, you were a true cowboy. You were a maverick, because you're going to be figuring it out on your own. There wasn't a whole lot of support for you out there. Now today, there's more support than you probably ever realized. And depending on what you're looking for, you should be talking to different people. So there's loads of people who would like to help you be independent and maybe even buy your company. But where does WealthCare fit in? Who do you support really well? And for advisors, if they're looking for, you know, a way of going independent or a platform, what makes you stand out?
Yeah, we've done very well with what I call kind of the emerging growth advisors. And these are younger advisors. I put them in the category of $50 to $150 million of AUM that know that setting up their own RIA and establishing an ADV is not the right answer for them, for all the reasons that you just outlined. You know, they're smart enough to understand that they can outsource investments, compliance, trading, marketing, billing, those things. And that's the only way they can really grow their practices. So we've done very well there. But we also have some larger practices, ensemble practices, you know, $300-500 million of AUM, where advisors are just not interested in taking on those non-revenue generating tasks. But I think to your point, one of the things that drives me crazy is when I read in the press and it says, well, smaller advisors just can't provide the services and the breadth of the offering as either the wirehouses or the people at these mega RIAs, which I think is baloney, because the reality is there's lots and lots of tools and platforms like ours available to smaller advisors who maintain their brands. They own their clients. They have their shingles. They are independent.
Yeah.
They own their practices, but they have a full suite of tools to provide services to these clients.
Yeah. And I think that's maybe the differentiation in that point is, if you're going to be small and try to do it on your own, you can't compete. But if you're going to be independent or smaller firm and lean on a great partner like, you know, like WealthCare, then you can compete and you can provide the full range of services. And, you know, importantly to me, you can grow. Because, I mean, that's one of the things, you know, I see with lots of firms throughout my time in the industry is those that want to hold on to everything, they're the ones who will tell you, what's your growth plan this year? Oh, yeah, we're a growth company. You know, we're looking to get 3 to 5 new clients this year. And this is like adding to a, you know, $400 million practice. It's like, that's not a growth strategy. That's just a keep your assets even strategy, because you're probably also going to lose 3 to 5 clients this year. And it's like, what's the plan? Get some referrals. It's like, you know, your investment advice is basically buy and hold low cost funds. Like, how much time should that take you as an advisor? Why don't you outsource that? Why don't you leverage, you know, other support systems for that? And go find clients. So those are the kinds of advisors we really like to support as well. Mm-hmm. You know, people who are growth driven and are looking for ways of enhancing and growing their practices.
Yeah. I have to be very honest when I talk to advisors about growth. You know, they often come and they say, okay, WealthCare sounds great. You know, how are you going to help me grow my practice? And I say, look, we've looked at every one of these tools out there, and there is no AI bot or software solution that's going to make clients show up at your door.
That's right.
You know, we've looked at them all, and I don't know that any of them has incredible value. And maybe I've missed one. I don't know. But what I can tell them is we will get you out of those non-revenue generating activities. We'll take the stuff that you shouldn't be doing off your plate.
Yeah.
And that can help you grow. And look, it's the metric we track most closely here is our advisors' organic growth, net of market appreciation. And the reality is our advisors, they grow at 2 to 3 times the industry average. Now, the industry average is anemic.
Right.
It's in low single digits. So our advisors are growing 8, 10, 12% annually, which is fantastic. But that's because they're smart enough to not get bogged down in those non-revenue generating activities.
Yeah, and that's great. I know we both pretty regularly attend Chip Rome's Tiburon event, and he's so good for data and industry perspective and viewpoints. And one of the things he points out in the RA industry all the time is everybody thinks about it as this big growth industry. Well, take out the market growth.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty flat industry. So I think a lot of advisors and firms have enjoyed the performance and rise of the market over the year. And so the firm has done really well because assets have grown in the market, but they're not growing organically in terms of new clients and new, you know, new assets in the door, which is the long-term solution to growth. You can't rely on the market to continue to drive your revenue increases.
No, and I think the other thing Chip points out is just how important these custodial referral programs, Schwab and Fidelity referral programs, are to advisors.
Yes.
Because they're literally just funneling them clients from their massive client bases that they can't handle. And that's a little bit of a sugar high for these advisors because they're paying a big trail on the assets.
Yeah.
And if you believe what Schwab's saying in their latest, you know, earnings release, is they're not particularly interested in either adding firms or continuing to grow that channel.
Yeah.
They want to take care of those big clients themselves. So, you know, if that spigot turns off, it's even more challenging for the advisors that are in those programs.
Right. Yeah. A lot of the organic growth comes from those referral programs. So what do you find like some of your firms are doing? So you're freeing up their time. Mm-hmm. You don't have any silver bullets for them for growth, but your basic proposition is we're going to free up your time. Now you can go do things to drive more growth. And what do you think like some of the more successful ones are doing?
Well, I mean, to your earlier point, I think as you provide more holistic wealth management services to your clients, getting away from that idea that you're a stock picker or you're an investment guy, and you really engage with your clients and get to know the whole financial picture and ensure great client outcomes, that's going to drive your referrals from existing clients, which is always going to be the low-hanging fruit. But we have advisors that do a fantastic job with social media, with events. It seems kind of old-fashioned, but the old rubber chicken dinner at the local restaurant, when you get 40 bums in the chairs and you ask everybody for a referral, that really works. It seems crazy, but it does work. And then again, on social media, we have a full marketing offering where we help these advisors to establish their brand, get out there on social media, do some marketing. that's a powerful tool that some advisors are really using to drive, you know, at least conversations, you know, their way so that they can turn them into clients down the road.
How about like firms like Smart Asset or Zoe Financial? You see the ones that are providing leads to financial advisors. You see, you know, a lot of people doing that well, because that's, again, something if you're going to do that, you've got to be committed, mm-hmm. right?
I'm not going to disparage anybody, but the reality is even for a smaller individual advisor, that's a really daunting task. The idea that you're going to respond to an email in 4 seconds, you know, you're going to compete against 4 different firms. You're exactly right. The firms that have had success with those, you know, lead agents have dedicated employees that work that channel, and that is their full-time job.
Yeah.
So there is a group above the advisor that does the response, the qualification, has the initial conversation, then it gets handed off. That's very expensive for a $100 million advisor to put in place. We don't do it ourselves because we don't really get that down to that level with the advisors where we're qualifying their clients and making introductions to them. But, you know, some of the large firms that are more just traditional RIAs that have big staffs that can handle that, I think they have really good success with it. I don't think it's as powerful as the custodial referral programs, but I do think they have some success there.
Yeah, those firms are doing well, like the Smart Assets and the Zoes, they're certainly doing well. And like you said, I think the people who understand this is not a normal client, this is an actual program that you've got to support very directly and intentionally, that makes a big difference. So as you're growing, do you do any acquisitions? Are you finding new advisors through referrals? Do you use any brokers? How are you generally coming across your new advisors and firms?
So we really support two models here. So we support what we call our affiliation model, which is typically 1099,
yep.
where an advisor joins us. They maintain the gross revenue line and pay us a basis point fee for all the services that we provide. That's one model. And in that world, you're typically, yes, you're working with third-party recruiters, you know, always talking to your existing advisors. We support about 180 advisors. They're our best source of new advisor leads, and we're happy to pay them for those referrals. And then we do get some help from the custodians and our technology partners and, you know, firms like Orion. If they have an advisor that's looking for a solution like ours, they're happy to make those introductions. But the second channel that we do have is what we call our direct channel, or W-2. And in that world, we'll actually acquire an advisor's practice. So we'll stroke a check and make them a W-2 advisor. They join as an employee. And in that world, we're really growing through acquisitions, through M&A, in order to create kind of the two solutions. Because ultimately, we know that the 1099 advisors, if we do our job correctly, they're going to want to ride off into the sunset someday.
Yep.
And they'll be happy to flip over into that employee channel or the direct channel. And we want to be the succession solution for them.
And so what's your sweet spot when you're looking into that acquisition side? You know, because again, many firms looking to do acquisitions, a lot of them have different niches they're, you know, looking for. What are you guys looking for?
Yeah, so we tend to look for advisors that we work well with on the 1099 side. So what does that mean? Those are, you know, advisors or firms, RIA firms that are between 100 and 300 million in AUM. They're planning first. They don't have a big piece of brokerage business. They're happy to use a firm like DPL for their, you know, fee-friendly annuity needs rather than going out and having a FINRA license. They're comfortable with this outsourced solution. If we run into an advisor that says that, hey, I'm the next Warren Buffett as a stock picker, and that's really my value in the industry, that's somebody we're going to fail with pretty quickly.
Right.
We do much better with kind of those emerging advisors that are comfortable with outsourcing those activities.
Terrific. And so we saw each, and you mentioned Orion, we saw each other, you know, the other day at the Orion event, huge industry player these days. You know, I can remember when Orion, again, years ago, was a much smaller name, and they've grown enormously. And what were some of your takeaways for you, you know, coming out of that Orion event?
Yeah, I think Orion is a key vendor of ours, and we work very well with them and the services that they provide, particularly portfolio accounting, performance reporting. That piece of it is critical because we're a multi-custodial RIA. So we've got assets at LPL, we've got assets at Schwab, Fidelity, Pershing, SEI.
Yeah.
So we need Orion to pull that all together. And they've done a great job. I think where they are today and what I'm keeping my eye on, they've cobbled together some technologies, which is core to their solution. And they've got this big TAMP business. And making that all work together kind of more harmoniously than it has been, I think, is the challenge that Natalie is facing there. I mean, I think she'll do a tremendous job. I mean, I think she's a fantastic executive. But from our point of view, you know, we're a very typical client of Orion. We need them to do more and more for us and do it faster and better and without any mistakes. And they've been a great part.
Yeah. And I think to, you know, part of our earlier conversation, I mean, you think you see Orion doing the same kind of things to help support the advisor, support a lot more aspects of a client's financial life.
Yeah.
It's more and more solutions. So an advisor can be more things to their client and provide more solutions. Obviously a huge, huge trend. And I think if you're a financial advisor and you're not feeling that from your clients, you need to start examining what you're providing and how you're doing it, because you're in danger of losing them. But that was a terrific event. One of the things where we've just recently expanded our relationship is you've come on to my advisory board, which I very much appreciate. We're trying to do some innovative things in the insurance world, and you know, getting feedback from people who are deep in it is greatly appreciated. So, you know, look forward to continuing to work with you in that regard, and best of luck ongoing with WealthCare and continue the growth. And
appreciate
it. It's been, I can't remember how big you guys were when we first started working together, but probably you've probably grown 30-40% easily since then.
Yeah, it might have been, you know, $1 billion, $1.5 billion. When I came in 2018, we were at about $1 billion. So
we've
grown nicely, which is great. But I think the landscape changes all the time, right? In a zero interest rate environment, everybody was looking for some sort of yield product, you know, for retirement spending and for income and that sort of stuff. And as you kind of, I think, have done a great job of evolving in the industry, creating products that solve for those planning needs for advisors is a constant challenge because everything's changing. But advisors are open to these solutions, which is great. You know, I think the advisors that we're talking about, the ones that are planning focused and true wealth managers, are always open to these solutions, which is the way they should be.
Yeah, absolutely. And we do run into, you know, trying to change attitudes from investment first people. They pride themselves on being great investors. And it's like, you know, packaged products can help improve your results.
Right.
But there's some pride in it. It's like, but you don't go and buy 500 individual stocks to have a S&P 500 exposure. Why are you trying to cobble together a bunch of solutions to create income?
Right.
Just buy income. It's super efficient in the annuity, but we'll get there. We're making progress. But those planning first people tend to get it. They understand the benefit immediately that the annuity creates into the plan. So that's great. And that's the trend. So I think we're both heading in a good direction with winds at our back. And sorry to have shortchanged you on your growth. $1 billion to $8.5 billion.
No.
That's tremendous. And keep it up.
All right. David, great to be with you. I appreciate the time.
No, thank you, Matt. Look forward to continuing to work together.
We'll see you in Boston, I guess.
Yes, see you in Boston.
Thanks for listening. To hear more advisor revelations, go to dplfp.com and subscribe on your favorite podcast streaming app.